This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg. Wake up, buddy.
I'm tired because I'm addicted to my simulator.
Yeah, it's a badass machine. I know you've been getting some time on that thing.
I can't get away from it. It's now I know how hard it is to get a phone, why it's so hard to get a phone away from a kid.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, so speaking of, you don't have to worry about that too much. Gage has been crushing it. He and his team have been crushing it. And I know you gave us a little bit of an update last week, but they've moved on. They beat another team and getting closer to a championship, right?
No one ever would have predicted it. It's like a Cinderella story. Every week they go in, they're the underdog. They lost two games in the playoffs so far. They're two games away from winning a state title. They play tomorrow night near Austin, and they win tomorrow night. They play Saturday for the state finals. So it's awesome, man. It's hard to explain. You got to experience it. You know, all the years of playing sports, I won a world championship in the U.S. or in the World Football League, but you know, like through high school and college, I mean, the playoffs weren't an option. So it's really cool to watch Gage and his buddies go through, especially when it wasn't predicted. It's just a cool thing, man. They're number four in the state for 5A schools in freaking Texas. They got like 300 high schools in Texas, for God's sake. 300 5A high schools in Texas. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw some of the clips. I saw some of the stuff that those guys play. They play hard.
Oh, man,
high school kids play hard.
And then my chest feels it too, because they're the best baseball games I've ever seen, but they're, you know, you're so emotionally invested because you have your son in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cutthroat, man. It's pretty fun.
I played sports in high school and long before that. And I don't know. I guess as a kid, when you're there and you're doing it, and then as an adult, you see it. I was like, I don't remember playing quite that hard like these kids. But I remember feeling the passion. I remember getting emotional about games I played baseball
and baseball traditionally is, you know, a friendly, you know, game. And, but these kids go at each other, man, whether it's social media, prior to the game, and then they get on each other's, you know, nerves, and then they really want to kick their ass during the game. I mean, the post that I've put out with Gage, oh shit. This will be live on our podcast. Hey Billy, I gotta call you right back, partner. I'm doing my podcast. Oh, okay.
Okay, I don't know who that was, but.
That was my partner, and that was about the dealership. That's why I had to answer.
Oh, right on, right on. All right. So speaking of dealerships, some information from a dealer was leaked recently on the order guide from Dodge, and Dodge had said, "Hey, we're going to do a 6-speed manual transmission in the Challenger Hellcat." And then there was a delay for the longest time on making that option available to order. And apparently it popped back up. So what was going on was Dodge had to do some recalibrations on the PCM, on the powertrain control module, to make that work. My guess is it usually comes down to some sort of emissions thing, right? It has to do with tuning of the engine for the manual transmission, and it's usually some sort of emissions thing or whatever. Because putting the manual transmission in is the easy part, right? Getting the engine to run. It always comes down to like, oh, well, if we do this, what kind of MPG are we at? And, you know, how do we calibrate it?
Budget. How do you fudge it? And,
yeah, yes. Right. So it basically came down to somebody saw it on the as an option when they were ordering the car from a dealer. And the dealer was actually, I think if I read this right, the dealer said, yes, we can do it. And so he said, it's not available on the Dodge website yet, or it wasn't as we're doing this podcast. He said, so you can go to the website, build the car that you want, build it with the Torque Flight 8-speed automatic, which is $2,995 option. And he goes, and then, you know, email it to me or send it to me with a note saying, but I want the manual transmission. And they'll duck the $3,000 and put in the order and you're good to go. And I guess this dealer, good for these guys. Now, I don't know what the long run is, but these guys said the first 5 orders that they get on this car with a manual transmission, they'll do it for sticker MSRP. There's no markup. Now, I don't know what that means after that, but
well, that's the important answer, right?
Yeah, it is. But I get what they're doing. They're going, hey, the forums are already talking about us as a dealer. We've said that we can get it in there. Like, we don't want that bad press of going, there's going to be a markup, or there's a markup on all these. There's going, get these first 5 in there and we'll do it for no markup, which
it's like Ansira. When I spoke to Ansira and they gave me the skinny on their MO when it comes to overages, I called Dodge and let them know. And instantly there was an article written, ironically, but the attention that you garner for a positive like that is way more than you can ever reap in the marketing world.
Right? Yeah.
It's instantaneous. So, I mean, it's great publicity when, you know, during this day and age, everything is negative. So,
yeah. Well, so long story short is you can order a Challenger with a manual transmission. It's, I'm sorry, you can order a Hellcat with the manual transmission. But it's the 717 horsepower version of the car. You can get the narrow body or the wide body, and you can get it with the manual, but like red eyes and stuff that never really came with it, still not going to come with it. So
the red eye came with it because I've got one right over there. No, I don't. That's not a red eye. Shit.
I don't think it's a red eye.
You're right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, the 717 horsepower version of the, you know, the Hellcat Challenger, you can get with a manual transmission. So that's kind of cool. So hopefully, where are we at on this thing? I think the MSRP is 67,000, almost 68,000. The 8-speed eight-speed automatic would be about $3,000, $1,700 gas guzzler tax. and $1,600 destination charge. So you're at almost $74,000, which is about what we thought. And then I guess you can back out $3,000 off of that, about $70,000, if you get it with the manual. So you're at like $69,900. If you don't do any other options, don't do anything else. So,
that's not a wide body, is it?
So you can do this, the narrow body or the wide body, as long as it's
the price of the wide body.
I'm sorry. No, that's not the price of the wide body. That's just get you in the door with the SRT Hellcat. Excuse me. But anyway, it's just, yeah, good. It's interesting. I mean, look, you're going to go out with a bang with these cars, like they're doing with the Demon and whatever. Before they start going to, you know, electric or whatever they're actually going to end up doing. So why not swing for the fences and do it right?
Swinging for the fences would be offering a wide body Charger red eye with a 6-speed. That would be swinging for the fences.
Yes. And again, I don't know that the argument is, can the six speed handle the torque and the power for it? As much as it is probably some sort of tuning or emissions thing, right?
Well, yeah, 100%. Back to where we were.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I like what they're doing. I like that you can get it with a manual transmission. I was driving my car. I was driving my Mach 1, and a buddy of mine is a big Mustang collector. Bunch of Fox bodies, new Mustangs, SN95s, New Edge, all the Cobras, the Celines. He's got a handful of these Raptor cars, which are very low miles, 10, 20 miles, 100 miles. Not PDI'd, still wrapped in plastic. He's got a handful of these types of cars. I'm already kind of like getting itchy because my SAC car has 3,600 miles on it. And I'm kind of like, I might even sell it just because I can't enjoy it. You know, I can drive it around the block, but I can't really drive it that much. I'm not faulting anybody that is into the wrapper cars, but I'm just not quite sure it's for me. So we'll see how it goes. You know, but I was with him at Barrett Jackson when he bought like the 2000 Cobra R model with like, I don't know, 45 miles on it, 90 miles on it or something, all wrapped in plastic. People are like, that's crazy. You spent a world record for the car. And here we are 3 years later, and they're all double the cost of what he paid. So he's like, I don't care. But the point is he had a GT500, which is fantastic car. I've tracked it. I've driven it on the street. I've driven a bunch of them, you know, 760 horsepower, DCT transmission, cool car. And I told him, it's like, I bought my Mach 1 because I didn't know how much longer we were going to be able to get a cool Mustang with a manual transmission. And this came with the Tremec transmission from the GT350. And that's why I got that car. I know in the future, even now with the 24 Mustangs out, and that's a cool car. You can get it with a manual. You can get it with the automatic. And there's going to be a Shelby version that we've seen spy photos of. I didn't really know it at the time, and it's a cool car, but they're saying that one's going to be tougher to tune. So I got this with the manual transmission. And he went out and he ordered two Mach 1s. I think one was going to be a wrapper car, one he was going to drive. And now he's a couple weeks into it. And I was like, how do you like your Mach 1 with the manual transmission? And he's like, finally, I can say it. He's like, this is the best Mustang I've driven. It goes, the way they dialed this car in and with the manual, and they took bits from the GT350 and the GT500, and they just got the right combination. I know a lot of the press was saying it's the parts bin car. It's like they threw all the parts. I was like, I don't give a shit. I don't care if you call it a parts bin car. Ford took the best pieces out of their performance catalog, threw it all together, gave it a warranty, called it a Mach 1, and made a really cool car.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted. Now, of course, you know, I cut mine up and I put twin turbos on it and stuff, but it's still, I think, one of the best Mustangs they've ever made. And I think having that manual transmission makes it super fun. And I like seeing the Challenger probably in its final year available with the manual transmission as well, with the Hellcat engine in it. So that's kind of cool. It's badass.
Well, yeah, from a guy who's got, you know, all of them, yeah. My most fun is, no question, the six speed. I mean, hands down. I wish they were all six speeds. I mean, that's just me, you know me.
Yeah.
But the driving experience is unparalleled. It's not even a comparison. So.
Yeah. Is your green car is the six speed, right? The triple nickel isn't, or did I get that
black from? My 2017 Hellcat, the original skinny tire car that had the emblem on the side of it, the Hellcat emblem, the the Ghost.
Yeah.
And then I took that off and then I sent it up to Speed Corps. Speed Corps, you know, widened it, carbon fiber, the front clip.
That's right. That has the carbon fiber wide body on it. You had that at SEMA. You and I had cars the same year there at SEMA.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a cool car.
Yeah, it's a 950 to the tires. It's 6-speed. I mean, the car's terrifying, but it's awesome. And what a driving experience. It makes the others pale in comparison.
Yeah.
But again, but to harken back on your what did you call the plastic
the wrapper cars because they're still wrapped.
But if you have the, I mean, I'm a man who's done it all, you know, kind of. And
well,
if you have the ability to have one of each,
right?
You
that, can drive that's the
one,
thing.
And then you can put one away. You don't worry for 2 seconds about the one you put away.
Right. Yeah. Now
that not everybody has that advantage, and that I'm extremely lucky to be able to do that. But
yeah,
you know,
you've got the demon wrapper car.
Because it's too tempting.
Absolutely right. You've got the demon wrapper car, and then you've got the other demon that you can drive. Actually, you know, if my red 93 Cobra was together, if I had the time to finish that car, then I probably wouldn't worry too much about the SAC Mustang, because the red car is the one that I really want to drive. Now, I did drive the SAC car around the block the other day, and then I brought it in and I washed it, and I've been polishing it up, and I never really got enough time to, what, since I bought that car, I didn't have the time to really kind of go through it. Like, I did the dry ice blasting because I sent the car out for that, and I brought it in, and I didn't really address anything else. And now that I've got it here and in the warehouse, and you know, Bill can see it, but the rest of you guys can't, but kind of over my shoulder, the cars are lined up over there, and I actually was able to spend a little time and start doing a really good detail on it. I don't want to say paint correction, because I didn't, it's thin paint. I didn't want to like start digging into it and start removing an orange peel. I wasn't going to like sand it or anything, do it like a color sand. I just did a good quality detail. Like I did cleaned it all up, clay barred the whole thing, did a compound, did a little bit of a cut on it, and then started the polish on it. And then I'll finish it up with a wax. And it looks fantastic. And then I just been spending hours on it, and you know, it's in the warehouse and I can cover it and clean it off, you know, so I don't have to do it all at one take. I'm just, you know, just putting my headphones, spend a little time doing it. And I kind of use them as even like a cardio day. It's just going in and like, hey, I'm going to do it for 3 days and start doing it. So I've got a little bit more work to do on it. And it looks fantastic, and under the lights and everything in the warehouse, it looks good. So I'm glad I got some time actually to do it on that car. Maybe I'll bring it out to one of the local shows. And then, you know, and it's easy to clean up after that, but it's cool. It looks good. Fun. It's a fun car.
I wish I had the time to do that.
You got the wash bay, you got the warehouse, you got the lighting set up, and
yeah, but like I said, you devote 4 hours to each car.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, listen, I have the warehouse here, I've got tools, I've got gear, and I still don't have time to work on that red car. And I know what I gotta do, and there's been a little bit of a hold up. The big issue is still I've got to make the custom brackets for the supercharger and stuff. And I've gone through a couple of thoughts, a couple of options. My friend Chris Brown that came in and worked on my truck, my 95 Lightning. He's the guy that created, he designed new mirrors and door handles 3D. And then we 3D printed them in plastic, did a few revisions, made the aluminum ones, had Evod make them for us. We're going to work on that other red car. We actually came in and spent a little bit of time looking at it, measuring a few things and coming up with a few ideas. But the guys at ProCharger this past year came out with a whole front engine accessory drive for the LS engine. That's a serpentine belt drive with a supercharger. And they've been telling me they may do one for the Ford, and I don't know what it's going to look like yet. They don't know what it's going to look like yet. I spoke to their engineer, and it's been a year, and he's like, I haven't really gotten to it yet because we've been pushing the LS drive, and he goes, it's something we want to do. And so I got to check in with again, see if he's made any headway before I start pulling the trigger on some 3D design. I just want to see what he's doing. And if it works for what I'm doing, it's not going to be exactly what I'm doing. It won't be exactly the same, but if theirs is turnkey and it works, I'll use their system. If I end up designing my system, then I have a custom balancer made with a belt on it, which is not common on the Fords. And I reverse the supercharger so the pulley faces the firewall. So when I run the supercharger belt, it'll be real close to the engine block instead of far out in front of the engine. And what I'm doing there is putting the least amount of load on that front bearing, right? Because these supercharger kits, they often push that blower pulley way out front and puts a lot of load on it. The blower's got to be tight. So I move it far in. Now, this has happened. This has been done many times on the LS engines, but not really on the Ford engines. And nobody has a kit for it. So if I end up designing mine, then I'm going to have the blower belt right on the balancer. And if I do find a solution like from ProCharger, then we'll just go to whatever they're kind of putting together. But
oh, hell yeah. Don't reinvent the wheel. You're doing it enough.
Yeah, right. That's because right. Those will work. It'll work. it'll work fine. As you guys know, this year would have been Carol Shelby's 100th birthday. There's a number of events all over the place. Our buddy Aaron Shelby is traveling all around the world. I think he's at F1 in Spain. He's there with his family. So it's his wife's birthday, and it's also a celebration of 100 years of Carroll Shelby and when he raced Aston Martin. So he's with the Aston Martin team. And anyway, they're having a lovely vacation while he's out there. And I keep thinking, I hope they swing by Le Mans on the way home, because Le Mans is happening this weekend. And there's a big celebration there for Shelby. Now, back here in the States, we've had one car already that came out as a centennial celebration Mustang for that all black one that I went and I showed you guys a few months ago, I think back in January, February. And now Shelby American has their F-150 to celebrate the 100th birthday of Carroll Shelby. It's a over the top F-150, everything that you would expect on it. You can get it with a supercharger and the non-supercharged version. So the 400 horsepower V8 is standard, or you can get it with 800 horsepower with their optional supercharger. Now, keep in mind, this comes with a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. So you can go in to Shelby, get yourself an 800 horsepower F-150 as well. It's got all the body modifications. Like, I'm not a fan of the hood with the twin snorkel and the big stripe over it, but the rest of the truck I do like. Let's see, it comes with 22-inch wheels. The Centennial package has a bunch of stuff and numbering, carbon fiber trim, black leather upholstery in it. You can get it with a Raptor style Fox 2.5 shocks, internal bypass technology, lift kit, all the kind of the cool stuff. I believe there is a street truck version of this as well. So you can get the off-road version of the street truck version.
Nice.
Anyway, pretty cool. Kind of badass stuff. It'll cost you about $130,000 base, about $140,000 with the supercharger engine in it. But yeah, it sounds like a lot of money to me, but I talked to the guys at Shelby American and they sell, I don't know, two or three times as many Shelby F-150s as they do Mustangs at this point. So somebody's down with doing this.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that love that space, right?
Yeah. We know Chevy Camaro is coming to an end, and they're trying to do a couple of special edition vehicles, offer some collectability. I know we talk about wrapper vehicles, right? So This may be an opportunity to jump on that bandwagon. Chevy has come up with this Panther package. Excuse me, grabbing some water. So the Panther package is it's kind of a blacked out edition of the car. You can get it on pretty much all of the trims, the LT through the SS. The LT and the SS get a gloss metallic finish, and then the ZL1 will get a matte variant. And this is the first time Chevy's offered a matte finish on the Camaro. That's black stripes. Now, there isn't any power advantage to it. There isn't any performance upgrades. This is simply an appearance package. There's no performance upgrades because they're offering the Panther package on the whole lineup of cars, right? So yeah, there's no additional power, but if they're only going to make about 350 of them. So if you do want just a Camaro or a ZL1 or an SS, and you want to make it a little bit more special, see if you can get in line and get on this. I want to say you might want to do that pretty soon. I want to say the 2024 Camaros, the order books open June 15th. So it's right around the corner. But then production ends pretty much in January. So get your orders in. They're going to start making the cars. Everything will be built by January. And there you go.
Grand
Yup
of Camaro.
Yeah. I drove the Camaros. I mean, I don't love it, but I did drive. I drove a ZL1, and then David Borla had a demo vehicle he developed exhaust on. And he's like, hey, I got the Borla ZR1 if you want to drive that. And I was like, sure. And I drove around town with giant Borla stickers on the side of that thing. But that car was fun. And he made it sound awesome. It's got some good power, and they haul ass around the track. I mean, I know they're not selling well, but they haul ass.
You just can't see out of the back, so you just got to stay in front.
Yeah, and it's got a really big like A pillar on the inside. It's just kind of big and kind of in the way. It's not as noticeable around town, but when you're on the track and you're really trying to see where that corner front tire, it's a little bit of an issue. Jeep Gladiator's getting a little bit of a facelift. We saw the facelift on the 24 Wrangler, and it looks like the Gladiator is pretty much going to get the same thing. So if you're looking for the truck version of the Jeep, you'll get some upgrades to the Jeep Gladiator. Not a whole lot to talk about there. You pretty much know what it's going to look like. Some revisions on the front grille and a few other things, and pretty much the interior is going to match what's going on with the 24 Wrangler. But just wanted to throw that out there if you're doing any shopping and looking for the new Jeeps. There is a sort of a refresh for the 24 models, which will be happening soon.
There's some cool like little side models they're making available with the Jeep brand.
Yeah, they are. Now, I don't know if the Gladiator is going to have the plug-in hybrid powertrain version of it, or if I don't know if it's going to have the 392 V8 engine, but the standard configurations, which I believe will be the two liter turbocharged 4, and then the optional 3.6 liter V6. I don't know what they're going to end up doing with specialty versions or hybrid. I think they're probably going to end up doing the 4XE, the plug-in hybrid version of it. They just really need to lean into the more fuel efficient versions of these cars, especially because Stellantis and I think GM were just hit with huge fines for not necessarily meeting the EPA requirements. I mean, I don't want to say a fine. It's kind of like buying the clean air credits, but if you don't have enough clean air credits, you gotta pay the difference. Yeah. But the difference results in a couple of $100 million. Also, it's a little weird with Stellantis because it's some of that is a carryover from the brands before they merged them all under the umbrella of Stellantis. So they were kind of expecting it. They were expecting it. But now that they're, you know, they're full steam ahead as Stellantis, they need to compensate for the inefficient cars with more efficient cars. You got to sell a lot more Dodge Hornets than you do Hellcat Red Eyes.
what are the numbers on that? I'm very curious to see what they're selling.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to. I don't have any of that in front of me. Typically, that's a question for Alistair Weaver because he can access that data on the fly. We'll have to ask him. So we're going to wrap things up soon. We're going to do a little bit shorter show. We both got to run up and do something. But I do want to mention this about Fisker. So Henrik Fisker is an incredible designer and had his ups and downs success-wise. But he's actually really wonderful to interview. We've done some interviews with him. He's been on CarCast in the past, and he's full steam ahead with this, with the Fisker SUV, this EV that he's doing. I saw it up in Pebble Beach. It looks pretty cool. It's got some great design to it. I saw it at the auto shows as well. But the Fisker Ocean, he's got a couple versions of it, like basically a small battery and a big battery. So the Fisker Ocean Extreme is the big battery version. And it's a pretty small SUV, and he fits 113 kilowatt battery in it. And the EPA did their testing on it, and they came back with a 360-mile range. Wow. Now, this is independently tested. This is EPA testing it. This isn't Fisker.
Good.
And he was saying it's going to come in around 350, and it actually came in at 360. So this is pretty much the most range for anything in its class that I can think of. I don't know. It's pretty good. It's pretty cool. Now, their top of the line version of this SUV is about, I don't know, $79,000-$80,000, and I want to say it starts at about 36,000. Small battery, less range, less features, and whatever. But this is under $100,000, and it's a nice looking SUV, and it's got some cool features in it. And I question, like, how many is he going to be able to sell, and what's going to be the quality. But he's outsourcing this to, I thought it was Magna, but you have to correct me on that. I don't have it in front of me. But it's the same manufacturing facility that does the Mercedes G-Wagon, right? Because that's basically outsourced.
Yeah.
So he made a smart move as a company going, well, before we spend all of our money ramping up a facility to build these vehicles, let's outsource it to somebody who knows how to build vehicles, and then we'll kind of take it from there and see where we want to go. I thought that was a smart move. So I want to say that he predicted the first full year of production at about 42,000 cars. It's going to come in short, probably about 32 to 36,000 cars. That's still a lot of cars for the first year. And if you ordered the launch edition, the Ocean One is what they called it, there was about 5,000 orders put in. Those are going to start shipping soon, and he expects the production of all of those to be done by the end of September. So this year, you will get your launch edition vehicle. Me personally, the launch edition seems fun. Maybe there's some collectability, but I kind of let those 5,000 people enjoy that version of the car. I want to see how it goes before it needs a little bit of shaking out, I think.
But I'm not getting into the EV world. Unless I'm kicking and screaming, but I'm not getting into the EV world until it does. And I'll use a plasma TV as an analogy. I bought four of them when they were $10,000 a piece.
Yeah.
They can pick one up for 25 cents at freaking Walmart. So, you know, I'll applaud the first people to get those Fiskers, but, you know, I'll wait a little while.
Yeah. And, you know, when we talked about wrapper cars, I'm not sure that's feasible for anything with a battery hybrid or whatever, like I'm hearing horror stories about LaFerrari, and it's like the batteries are going bad and they're having them replaced because people aren't really driving them, and they need it needs to go through that cycle of using the battery a bit. I don't think it can just sit there and not, you know, like whatever.
And then if you use the battery, so if you somehow are able to use the battery and cycle the battery without using the car itself and not putting wear and tear on it, does it do anything to the value of a Raptor car?
Yeah, so that's the question. And what these car companies haven't really figured out yet, I guess, is like McLaren P1, LaFerrari, they haven't really figured out like the trickle charge, like sustain, you know, like you plug in your C-Tech battery charger into our regular battery. They haven't figured out that state to keep the car preserved. So it needs a little bit of usage. So I don't know about the investing in, you know, buying and keeping the car on the shelf and it's got some battery technology. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work. I haven't seen Leno in a little while. Adam Carolla's talked to him, but I'm curious to go back to him and go, hey man, what's been going on with like your P1 and stuff? He may just say, I drive it. I don't have an issue, because I know he drives it every once in a while. Sammy Hagar's had issues with his LaFerrari, and you know, Ferrari came in and fixed everything and changed the battery and whatever. But, and I think he's, you know, maybe even contemplating selling it because he just doesn't want to go down that path. I think he's just going to stick to what he knows and what he loves. And, you know, I mean, listen, he's also got the Audi e-tron, basically the Taycan version, you know, the Audi version of the Taycan. He drives it, his wife drives it, and, you know, but they put miles on it and they drive it all the time and love that car. But that's not the one that sits in the showroom and, you know, gets driven twice a year. You know, so I don't know. So I'm a little iffy on the collectability of these cars with the big battery. So maybe it's fodder for another time. But all right. So I know you got to run out, but good luck to Gage and his team. The guys are they're doing great. Yeah, is there anything we're missing?
No, not that I know of. Like I said, I'm addicted to my syndrome.
Yeah. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening, as always, and we'll catch you next week. Until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.